Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, in Acts chapter 9, you can turn there this morning if you want to. In Acts chapter 9, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Acts chapter 9 this morning. We find the conversion story of one of the most influential of the early apostles. We know him as Paul. And before he was an apostle, if you know the story, you know that Paul was one of the number one enemies of the church. Paul was, he was one of the number one enemies of the church at that time. He went by a different name even. His life was so drastically different. He went by a different name. His Jewish name was Saul. So his Roman name was Paul. His Jewish name was Saul. And he went by his Jewish name because he wanted to fit in. He was a top religious leader. He was one of the top religious leaders in the community. And he was 100% Antichrist. He was 100%, let that sink in. He was 100% Antichrist. And Saul was such a bad guy, he looked on. They threw all their cloaks at his feet and looked on as the zealots at that time stoned Stephen to death. One of the Stephen was the first martyr of the church, and Saul was there kind of approving and watching over the stoning of Stephen. And he was so bent on shutting down this Jesus movement thing that he went to the synagogue and he got a search warrant so that he could go to Damascus, which was many, many, many days away. But he wanted to go to Damascus because he heard that the church was starting to grow in the Jewish synagogue in Damascus too. And he wanted to go and he wanted to put a stop to this Jesus movement so he could snuff out this emerging flame of the church of Jesus Christ. We all know this story. And while on his way to Damascus, Saul is confronted by Jesus Christ himself. Resurrection, ascended Jesus confronts Saul on the road to Damascus. And during this confrontation on the road to Damascus, Jesus strikes Saul blind. He couldn't see anything. He was blind as a bat. And he was so bad off that he had to be led by hand into the city of Damascus by the people who were with him, by his assistants. And he spent 3 days struck blind, afflicted with blindness in Damascus. He spent 3 days in Damascus. And after 3 days, one of the local Jesus followers in Damascus, his name was Ananias. Ananias was also visited by Jesus himself. Resurrected, ascended Jesus appears to Ananias in a vision. And Jesus instructs Ananias to go to, I mean, this is crazy weird, right? Because when was the last time Jesus gave you a specific address? You know, he said, go over to Straight Street, Judas's house on Straight Street. He gave him a specific address on a specific street where he would find the man who was terrifying the entire local Christian community in Damascus. And that's where we pick the story up this morning in Acts chapter 9, verse 17. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, it says, then Ananias went to the house and he entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He could see again. And he got up and immediately he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was blind, but now he can see. And he never looked at the world the same way ever again. Praise God. Amen? He got a second chance. I mean, he was public enemy number one against Jesus Christ in the world. You know, if Jesus had a foe, if the face of the devil was to be characterized back in that time, it was Saul's face. He was public enemy number one, the worst of the worst, killing Christians, hunting them down, wanting to jail them and snuff them out. He got a second chance. He got a second chance and in turn was able to take a second glance at the world that was around him. He started seeing things differently, and he went on to change the course of history. He went on to basically build the foundation of the church, and he wrote a huge portion of the theology that forms how we believe today from a jail cell, because he was persecuted like he was persecuting others for the very same Jesus he was trying to snuff out. Paul became one of the main answers to Jesus' prophecy that the gospel would go through all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That was because this man and his experience, he was blind and he was seen. He could see again. He had gotten a second chance and was taking a second glance at the world. But the reality is that Saul was blind before he ever ran into Jesus on the Damascus Road. Amen? He was blind before he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. He was a learned man. He was a learned man. He had social status. Not only was he a Jew, but unlike most of the Jews, Saul was also a Roman citizen. I mean, he was kind of like a one percenter. That's how we would look at him today. He was cream of the crop. He was part of the elite. He went to the synagogue. He taught from the scripture scrolls as they were opened up. Very, very educated. He was one of the elders. He was a Pharisee. And he thought, in all of his learnedness and his commitment to the synagogue and to what he had grown up knowing, he thought he was doing the right thing. In our language, he came to church. He taught a Sunday school class. You know, he was on the board. Maybe he was on track for ordination. I don't know, but that's kind of the parallel of who this man Saul was in his story. And he thought he had 20/20 vision. Notice I got my glasses on this morning. Got my specs on this one. Usually I wear contact lenses, but I got new glasses about 4 months ago and I haven't worn them. So I figured, hey, I'll be styling and profiling this morning and be able to see you all too. But he thought he had 20/20 vision as a Pharisee, as a Jewish leader, but he was actually blind to the things of the kingdom of God. Think about that. He thought with his whole heart that he had 20/20 vision, but in reality, he was actually blind. Is it possible that herein lies the state of the church in America in 2021? Is it possible that we've lost our ability to see what's really going on around us, to see the spiritual need, to see the spiritual opportunity, to see the spiritual reality of what is happening right under our noses? Is it possible that we're at risk of losing our way, church? Is it possible that we are at risk of losing our way chasing some Damascus Road agenda? Is it possible that we are at risk of losing our way instead of actually building the kingdom that Jesus has called us to help him build and partner with him to build here on earth? Over the next few weeks, we're going to do something just a little different. I've not done this before, but hey, there's a first time for everything. So if this is a great success, it was my idea. And if it was a failure, we'll just chalk it up to, I don't know, Pastor Vicky's not in the room right now. But we're going to try a little something different over the next couple of weeks as I was praying and meditating over vacation, because that's what I do on vacation. I have time, I have space, I have room for the Lord to speak to me. And as I was praying and meditating and searching for where the Lord was kind of guiding me to take Maplewood over the next month or so, I came across the song that Matt sang and David played on the guitar and Vicky played on the piano. I came across that song for us. And Brandon Heath is the guy who wrote that song. I talked to you about Brandon earlier. Brandon Heath wrote Give Me Your Eyes. That song, it seems like it's like, hey, that was just a couple years ago. 2008. That song was a Christian top 40 hit in 2008. And it all originated over a conversation that Brandon Heath had had with a fellow songwriter. I actually went and I did a little research on this song, like to get a little bit of the story behind the song. And it's amazing what happens over a meal. Brandon Heath, in an article I found, he was quoted, he said, yeah, we were having dinner. We were having a conversation over Chinese food. Okay, you could just picture Brandon Heath and a friend having a conversation over Chinese food, that we wished we could have God's perspective on things. He said, and if we did have his perspective, we wished that we could have it for long periods of time rather than just for a few seconds. To have God's perspective on things, and to, if we could have it for long periods of time rather than just a few seconds. And as that article resonated with me, and as I was meditating on the words of the song, I mean, for me, the Lord's like really talking to me. I'm like, wow, that really kind of sounds like heart holiness, where you've got the eyes of Jesus Christ all the time and not just for 2 seconds and then it goes away. That sounds like holiness, the holiness of the Lord working in our hearts and our lives. And I heard the song a few weeks ago while we were on vacation, and I listened to it over and over again, and it just struck me. So I, you know, continue to do some research, and I look up the lyrics, and lo and behold, you know, in the chorus of this song, I really found what I feel is like an outline for like something I want us to focus on over the next couple of weeks, the outline for a little series of messages that I think we all need to hear if we are going to live into our potential as a church that's focused building God's kingdom in our community and bringing souls, lost souls, to Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I looked at this, I was like, wow, there's a lot of meat in here for a group of people who are following Jesus and who are trying to figure out their way in this post-pandemic, post-COVID, post-Delta, whatever we're calling it, kind of crazy world that we live in 2021. I got the lyrics. Stephen can put the lyrics up on the screen here. Hard to see, don't worry. You're going to learn these lyrics. If you haven't learned these yet, you're going to learn them over the next couple of weeks. But it says, give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see. Everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones who are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Today, I want to just focus for just a few short moments on that phrase in that chorus. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes. You see, we are all, every single one of us, we are all prone to spiritual blindness. Every single one of us, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord, we are all human beings and we are prone to spiritual blindness on our journey. Spiritual blindness is when we go about our everyday life and we simply don't see, can't see, or perceive any spiritual needs around us. You know, we just do our thing and it never crosses our mind that there is something spiritual going on in the environment that we are intersecting at any given time. Those needs are out there, church. Those needs are out there. We simply don't give them a second glance, and we definitely don't give them a second chance because we're so focused on our thing that we're just pushing on to get done where we gotta, what we gotta get done, and to get to where we gotta get going. Amen? Amen. It's just the truth of what it is. Those needs are out there, though. They're all around us, but we're so caught up in our little self-centered agenda that we are prone to becoming blind to the spiritual needs right out there. We're blind to the needs of the coworker who needs prayer because we're so focused on getting our work done and getting out of there, right? What time is it? What's the time of my shift over? Get me out of here. Not even conscious of the fact that we may have a coworker over here who's just in dire need of prayer support. Or we're numb. We are literally numb to the fact that maybe we have a neighbor who's struggling with addiction, or has a family member who's struggling with addiction. Or not even, we're totally clueless with maybe somebody in our home who's struggling with mental health issues. Right? Because we just get so focused on ourselves. As a matter of fact, we may even be blind intentionally so that we can just remain blissfully ignorant. Yeah, I don't need to know it. Give me plausible deniability. If I don't know, you know, it's kind of like you go through life going, bip, 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 bip. Can't hear everything. You try that. Everybody, stick your fingers in your ears. Come on. And go, bip, 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 bip. You can't hear anything when you do that. And that's blissful ignorance. We like go through, you've never done that before in church, have you? Don't ever do it again. Yeah, but our attitude is, I don't want to know because I don't want to have to care. I got enough burdens I'm carrying around in my life, and I really don't want to know because I don't want to have to care. It's kind of like me getting my puppy dog. I knew that when I got this puppy dog that it was going to be me head over heels for this puppy dog. I don't have time for a puppy dog in my life. I'm busy. I'm doing all these things, and I got stuff going on, but boy, Pepper's got me wrapped around her finger. Now I care. We got the dog. Now I have to care, Pastor Vicki. She knew what she was doing. Pray for her. But spiritual blindness is in when none of the deep spiritual need around us even moves our hearts. Spiritual blindness is when we're not even moved, not even a little bit, by the need that's all around us. Now, if you're having trouble seeing, who do you go see? Eye doctor. You go to the eye doctor if you're having trouble seeing. And really this morning I want you to think of Jesus as our optometrist. Jesus is our optometrist. Actually, he's even one up, right? Because he's Jesus. He's not an optometrist. Jesus is our ophthalmologist. Okay? Jesus is our ophthalmologist. He's one of those like special eye doctors. And if we come to Jesus and we ask him to examine our spiritual eyes, as an expert in spiritual ophthalmology, and you do not have to write that phrase in your notes because you'll not be able to spell it. But if we come to the spiritual ophthalmologist, he may have a few diagnoses he may want us to consider this morning, church. Okay, just two. This is not a long sermon, just two diagnoses for you. First of all, our spiritual blindness may be resulting in spiritual nearsightedness. Spiritual. I want you to think about the concept of nearsightedness. Who's got glasses here? I see a lot of you. You look good in four eyes. And I am in solidarity with you today because I got my extra pair on this morning too. But our spiritual blindness may be resulting in spiritual nearsighted. I'm nearsighted, okay? So, and I have been since about the fourth grade. I've been nearsighted since about the fourth grade. I can see fairly decent close up. Like I take these off, I can see that pretty well. But I'm blind as a bat. I can't see any of you when I take these glasses off. So when things are far away, I can't see. I can see things that are near, but I can't see things that are far away. And we figured this out when I was in the fourth grade because my grades started slipping, and we started kind of digging into it. As a child, I didn't even realize that I was not able to read what the teacher was writing on the board. And so it's just a simple observation from Mrs. Bassett, who was my fourth grade reading teacher. Mrs. Bassett, she was the wife of Paul Bassett, which was one of our preachers on the district many years ago. She was my fourth grade teacher at Cookson Elementary in Troy, Ohio. She noticed this. She called my mom and I, you know, a week later, Joe had glasses. I had glasses on. Things were fixed. Ace in reading in the fourth grade. I was acing it. Spiritual nearsightedness is when we can only see our own circumstances. When we can only see, like, what's in, you know, I can only see what's right here in my life. Everything else I'm oblivious to because I can't see it in focus. So my existence becomes focused right where I can see it, right where I'm able to see it. Spiritual nearsightedness, if we get close up and personal with the spiritual need, maybe our hearts are moved for just a moment or two, just a few seconds. But then when that spiritual need, when it moves outside of our scope of ability to see it, we don't care anymore. Spiritual, hey, I see it. I come to church. I watched the mission video. My heart was moved. Pastor, I'll give you my money. And then I go out and I don't care anymore. Spiritual nearsightedness. We only pay attention to it when it's in our face. But the second that need moves away, we get to slip into blissful ignorance. Plausible deniability. Once again, back into our spiritual blindness. The need is still out there. Don't get me wrong. Don't miss that. When we're spiritually nearsighted, the need is still there. We're just not focused on it. We're just focused on right here, what I can see. It's all about me. That's where our focus on. So spiritual nearsightedness is one potential diagnosis from Jesus, our spiritual ophthalmologist. But hey, maybe he does a few more tests and he tests us out, and maybe Jesus comes to us and says, hey, your spiritual blindness isn't because you're nearsighted. It's because you are far-sighted. Spiritual far-sightedness. Far-sightedness is when we can see things that are far away, but we can't see things that are up close. You know, the older I get, the more this becomes an issue. It's the number one reason that I have like these glasses and two pair of readers on my desk at any given time. You know, even though I have contact lenses to correct my vision, my nearsightedness, the older I get, I'm becoming farsighted too with regard to things that are up close. And I think, what a wretched man I am. We all are. We all fight that. Spiritual farsightedness is when we are really good at focusing on the spiritual shortcomings of other people, right? Spiritual farsightedness is when we are good at focusing on others. When we're really good, when we're spiritually farsighted, we're good at focusing on the faults with other people. You know, if you're spiritually farsighted, you're really good at judging other people. You know, you've got a really good read on judging other people and their moral failures or lack of whatever you think that they should have. You know, if you're spiritually farsighted, we have all the answers for the neighbors. Oh, well, they should be doing this, you know. We have all the answers for city council. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that. We've got all the answers for, Congress, right? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe, Facebook is full of just a bunch of farsighted people. You know, we got the answers for everybody. Maybe even Wheel of Fortune, right? And we have all the answers for everybody else, and yet we're not able to see the spiritual need in our own life. We're not able to see the spiritual need that may be right across the kitchen table staring at us every day in our own household. Spiritually farsighted. It's all about them. But I can't see anything up close in my sphere of influence. Our pride, I think, drives our spiritual farsightedness. Pride skews our ability to see, allows us only to see the shortfalls of others from a distance, but never in ourselves or those closest to us. And never wanting to get involved to do anything about anything. I really feel like if we go back to Acts chapter 9, Ananias, he's really suffering from a little bit of spiritual farsightedness. He's really suffering from spiritual farsightedness. If you go back and you kind of read his story, he did not know Saul personally. He did not know Saul. He only knew Saul from far off. He only knew him by his reputation. Saul's coming to town. He killed Stephen. The public enemy number one of the church. Hide, run, flee. This guy's out to get us. He was farsighted. That's all he knew about Saul. He did not know Saul personally, and he really did not want to give Saul a second chance, let alone a second glance. You know, he's like, he did not want to look over. He was wanting to go the other way because Saul was a threat. And so when the Lord appears to Ananias in a vision and tells him to go and restore Saul's sight, Ananias' own spiritual farsightedness kind of pops up in his dialogue and his prayer with the Lord during this vision. Because Ananias, he basically, you know, he challenges Jesus' direction. Yeah, Jesus comes to you in a vision, a little advice. Don't challenge him. Yeah? But Ananias, he's like spiritually farsighted, so he couldn't, it was just in his nature, he couldn't help himself. Fear, anxiety, what he knew about this guy, he's like, wait a minute, you don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. Ever find yourself saying that to Jesus? You don't know what you're talking about. But Jesus does what Jesus does, and in this loving way, in this vision, Jesus sets him straight and basically said, hey, go see him close up. Go to Straight Street. You talk about focus? Go to Judas's house on Straight Street, and here's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to lay your hands on that guy, and I want you to pray for him so that he can see again. He's like, because Ananias, you may be farsighted. Your vision about this guy may be skewed, but I've got plans for this guy. Ananias, you don't understand. I know you're scared, Ananias, but you have to understand that it is through this man that I'm going to help really build and advance the kingdom of God. And I know you're scared, and I know you can't see clearly, and I know it's blurry, and you just can't see what out there, but I'm going to go with you, Ananias. You're not going to be alone. Go to Judas's house on Straight Street. And the Lord helped Ananias overcome his fear and his anxiety that came through that blindness so that he could help restore Saul's vision. And in turn, change the world. Change the world. Let's be really honest this morning. Wrapping things up, the influences of this world that you face in your life every day as a Maplewood family member, the influences of this world can make even the most earnest amongst us a bit spiritually blind. It's the accumulation of life happening that can create spiritual blindness in our lives. And sometimes our experiences, sometimes the experiences that we go through in life cause us to gain scales on our eyes. You know? I was trying to look that up, what those scales were, and I couldn't find anything on it. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on that through this series. But I think as we live life, we can get scales on our eyes, and it can happen to the best of us. It can happen to the most faithful. We can become scaled or jaded. We get caught up in the things of our lives, and suddenly we're blind to the spiritual needs around us. We become distracted. We're unable to be moved by the dreadful impact of sin in our community. Are you moved by the dreadful impact of sin on our community? Does it even cause a little tear to well up in the corner of your eye? Does it even cause your heart to ache just a little bit for the need that's right here? Right here. We talked about Afghanistan. We talked about Florida this morning. We talked about Haiti. But there's need, spiritual need right here that should be breaking our heart too. If we're to live into our calling, Maplewood, as followers of Jesus, as people striving to love God and to love other people, I think we occasionally all need to make an appointment with the spiritual ophthalmologist. No exceptions. No insurance required. We need to make an appointment with the spiritual ophthalmologist, Jesus. It is scary to not be able to see. Anybody who's gotten, you know, cataracts or is, I know Chuck just had cataract surgery this week, but anybody with that threat of losing your vision, that's a scary thing. It's very frightening. We should be frightened. We should be frightened by spiritual blindness. We should be frightened by it creeping into our lives. We should be scared. We should be really scared and concerned by our numb response or lack of response to the deep spiritual need that exists all around us. Amen. That should scare us. If we don't feel anything, if we're not moved by it, if our hearts aren't broken, I mean truly broken, not the in the church, oh yes, my heart's broken, Pastor. I mean wrenching in prayer, broken heart. If we're not there, we should be concerned. It's God's kingdom. It's God's will for you and for me to partner with him to build his kingdom right here in our circle of influence. But it's hard to build anything if you don't have eyes to see.
Amen.
If you don't have eyes to see. Just to wrap things up this morning, very, very quickly, there's this story in Matthew's gospel in chapter 20. You don't need to turn there. You can read it later. But Jesus is getting ready to leave the city of Jericho. He's been doing ministry there, and he's getting ready to head out of town. And he comes across, with his disciples, he comes across two blind men. Two blind men. Sitting at the gates of the city, he's with his disciples. There's a crowd all around. These guys are blind, but they are not mute. They are persistent. And as Jesus is coming through and passing by, and you know, they are making a scene. It's kind of embarrassing. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, they are just doing everything they can to draw Jesus' attention. Jesus, Son of David! They're crying out. They're doing everything they can. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us! They're just saying it over and over again. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. They're making so much of a scene that the crowd and the disciples are like, hey, dudes, chill out. You know, you're creating the scene. You're disturbing the master. Don't disturb the master. You know, they're all, the disciples, they just totally are, you know, when Jesus is zigging, you know, they're always zagging. They're never like synced up with Jesus in the Gospels. And they're over here zagging, saying, shut up, shut up. And Jesus is like, can I help you? Yeah, just kind of one of those. And they're all just like, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, and Jesus has none of their, hey, you're making a disturbance. Guess what? Jesus was willing to give these two men a second glance. He could have walked right out of town. He could have walked right out of town without giving them even any of his attention whatsoever. But he gives them a second glance. He gives them a second chance. And in Matthew chapter 20, verses 32 and 33, Jesus stops and he calls them and he says, what do you want me to do for you? You're making all this ruckus over here, dudes. What do you want me to do for you? And their response simply is, Lord, we want our sight. They were blind. They couldn't see. And they were so moved in their hearts that they knew that they needed a touch from the master so that they could receive their sight again. And I don't want you to miss this morning. Maplewood, do we even want our sight? Do we even want to see? Or are we satisfied with blissful ignorance? With plausible deniability? I can't be inconvenienced by the gospel, Pastor. I've got other stuff I'm doing in my life. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Do we even know we're blind? Do we even know we have nearsightedness or farsightedness that we need to deal with? Jesus gave Saul a second chance at being able to see. And he wants to do the same thing for you. And for me today, no matter who you are, no longer how long you've been walking with Jesus, I really don't care. Today, the question is, do you want your sight? Do you want to see so you can see the spiritual need that's around? That's the first step for us to be living into God's will for our church. Pastor Vicky and I, we can, you know, put good services on and we can bring you good messages. But if you're not willing to even want to see the need, we might as well just give it up. God has not called us to be part of a club. He's called us to build his kingdom. And the first step to being able to even see or capture that vision is to want our sight back.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.